Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. It has been a full 2 weeks, and Pastor Zach has continued in the series on the Word of God, and we covered the major prophets and the minor prophets. And I'm super excited because today joining us for this discussion is Pastor John Gagne, who oversees the prophetic ministries in our church.
Yes, I do.
So no better person to guide us, and especially, I just want to say, even guide me in this discussion. We were talking a little bit before we got on the mics. I naturally have felt more drawn towards New Testament books and the teachings in the New Testament, and I've noticed that there are other people that seem to be more drawn towards Old Testament books and prophecy. And it's not that I don't believe in those things. I do. But I think part of it might be like a spiritual wiring sort of thing. And we need to grow in the full counsel of Scripture. And so, Pastor John, just to lay this discussion, how do we as New Testament believers process and read the Old Testament prophetic books?
Yeah, so you have to... Which, by the way, I'm just saying, I don't know if I'm the best. You said there's no one better than you. I don't know about that. But
well, in our church, I enjoy receiving from you. So
I'll do my best.
You may want to turn your mic down a little bit.
I'll do my best here. All right. So when it comes to seeing these prophetic books, especially in a New Testament time, I think that it can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. I think with all of the Old Testament books, sometimes it can be a challenge because it's like, well, what does this really have to do with me today? You know, like, and even though the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we see things that he does or says in the Old Testament that look very different in the New Testament. So like, well, we're a New Testament church. So like that was then. And sometimes we read them as historical books or reference just to try to get to the Gospels. And then we're like, okay, I feel a lot better now. But the truth is that because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, you have to look back at them with the lens of what was God actually trying to do during that time? He was establishing his kingdom through a nation called Israel. And because Israel is made up of people, we can be very finicky. We can be very cynical. We can, as people, we become fixated on certain things or distracted or whatever. And so the Lord establishes laws in order for them to be able to worship him and to have an intimate relationship with him, not rules of like, don't do this, don't do that, but rather like guidelines saying, when you do this and when you do that, you will find yourself near to me as your God and you as my people. And that was always his heart. So when you look at the prophetic books in the historical context, but also in trying to read between the lines and a phrase I've kind of like stumbled upon in just talking about things like this over the last couple of months is like hearing God's heart between the lines. Okay. Like God, what did the Father actually intend? What is his intent? Mm-hmm. And why did he say this? And when you look at the prophetic books in this way, one of the things I loved that Pastor Zach pointed out is that in every single one of them, he always brought us to this like, and this was God's attempt to bring about revival in his people, to reignite their desire to serve the Lord with all of their heart, all of their soul, all of their mind, and all of their strength.
Yeah.
And again, as people, we tend to like, stray from that. We wander from that. We get distracted. We get apathetic. We just do the same thing over and over and over and over again. And after a while, we just do it just out of habit, but not, and it sometimes loses its meaning.
Right.
You know? And so it was like, he is constantly trying to reignite in his people the understanding of how much he actually loves them and that he chose them to fulfill his purposes and plans on the earth. And one of the major fulfillments of his plan was this Messiah who was going to come. And now the Jews, like, ultimately, God chose Abraham. God chose Israel. This is why the world hates Israel.
Right.
And this is why the world will always hate Israel. Mm-hmm. because there is a spiritual jealousy
yeah.
that is at the DNA of anyone who is not Jewish to not like them, because God chose that people, those people, for the coming of the Messiah, the one who would save the world. And so in the spirit, there's a jealousy.
Yes.
There is
yes.
a competition of like, well, what makes them so much better than us?
Right.
Well, what makes them better is God chose them.
Exactly.
that's
yeah.
that's what makes them better, is that he just chose them. It could have been any race, any nation. He chose Israel.
Yeah.
And so spiritually, hell is always trying to get yes. rid of God's people. It's happening right now.
Yes.
Like
yes, it
real
is.
Time, it guys. Is. Like if you're listening to this, it's June 16th, 2025, and the world hates Israel.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so.
You see that all through history.
All through history.
All through history.
All through history. Why? Because God chose that nation to birth the Messiah.
Yeah.
And so when you look at these prophetic books, God's not this, he hasn't changed, but time continues to move forward.
Yeah. And just since we're on that, you know, I think there is a segment of, you know, modern Christians who they will look at modern day Israel and say, well, they rejected the Messiah. So why should I still care about them? Those who, as a people, have rejected the Messiah.
They're still God's chosen people.
Yeah. Amen.
And
Amen.
And scripture actually says, okay, let's move into the New Testament. Mm-hmm. In the New Testament, it talks about, in Romans, it talks about how the Jews accepting the Messiah is difficult for them because he came looking and acting different than they anticipated. Therefore, they struggle that he's the one, that Jesus was the one, because they were expecting a political savior, a king who would sit on a throne. And that would eradicate Rome and free them politically from their bondage. And Jesus even says to them, I'm actually going to do more for you than just that. I'm going to save your soul from going to hell.
Right.
And so what happens is when you look back at these, all these prophetic books, you have to look at them through the, because we're a New Testament, back then it was harder for them. It was hard for the Jews to see prophetic books through the lens of the Messiah.
Because it hadn't happened.
Because he hadn't come yet. But as Bible believing, spirit filled, saved Christians, you have to look at the entirety of scripture from Genesis 1 to Revelation 23. You have to look at all of it through the lens of the Messiah. You have to. You don't actually have a choice because it wasn't a one time, one moment event. That even when you look at the prophetic utterances in Isaiah, and in Zechariah and where in all these books, you look at the prophecies about the Messiah and you can read them as in, this is a moment in history that's going to happen. But then when it happened the way it did, you have to say, actually, this is a moment. Yes. But it's also spans all of eternity.
Yes.
Because when you read Ephesians, it says from the foundations of the world. When you read Revelation, it says from the foundations of the world, the Lamb was slain.
Yes.
Which means that at the beginning of time, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and everything that came into being came through him, Jesus, the Word. And also in that moment, he also was slain.
Wow.
It's hard for our minds to
grasp. Yeah, we can't. Yeah.
Because we're so much, we're like chronological. So like our brains work of like, well, how can that be? Because in heaven, time doesn't exist the same way.
Right.
And so like this says, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is 1,000 years, which means we're really close. Okay.
Amen.
Because on the seventh day, he rested, the millennial reign of Christ. Anyway, and when you do all the math, we're at like year, like 6,000 something. So we're like in the final hour of the last day, just for all of you guys out there. We're not going to dive into that today. It's off topic, but we're almost
or
there.
Or is it?
The Jesus is coming back soon.
Yes.
And they've been saying that for thousands of years. But when you actually do the math, according to scripture, like, it's very soon. Like we're in the final hours.
Yeah. And I would encourage you that you are correct, because you're the second pastor I've heard within a week mention that.
Yeah.
So
when you do the math.
Yeah.
So when you go back to these prophetic books, you have to look at them as New Testament believers. Mm-hmm. We have to look at them through the lens of the Messiah.
Awesome.
Of God rebuilding, wanting to rebuild the temple, right? Of the Lord positioning his people mm-hmm. in a way to worship him in such a way that he's able to manifest himself in them and through them in order to establish his kingdom mm-hmm. and that his will be done on the earth. And what is his will? That everyone is saved. That's his heart, is that Jesus died for the whole world mm-hmm. for all time, that every single person to ever live would come to the saving knowledge of Amen. Jesus Christ. Amen. That's God's perfect will, God's submissive will, because he has integrity. And it says he gave us the ability to choose. In God's submissive will, it still is that everyone is saved. And so until Jesus comes back, the Lord will not relent in seeking to save every person that is lost. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go back and read these prophetic books through the lens of a creator whose heart is broken over a creation that has rejected him.
Amen. Amen. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, Hebrews. It talks about, you know, like the new priesthood and how we are the priesthood. Mm. And then you were talking about the temple, and like we understand that now the temple is our heart. So as a New Testament believer, when I read the old prophetic books, should I take that new covenant theology and apply it to that? So like when it talks about rebuilding the temple, do I apply that to my own heart? Is that an appropriate use?
Yeah, I mean, of course, because I think that, again, God's, you have to look at his intent. Mm-hmm. And even though some of these prophetic seasons or utterances, like Malachi,
right.
he's hearkening the remnant to rise up and to rebuild mm-hmm. a temple and restore this house of worship that people would come to.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the things we have to remember is that, again, even though God is a God of integrity, he's the same yesterday and today and forever, until Jesus shows up, resurrects, ascends to heaven, and then sends the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, prior to Acts chapter 2, I should say, maybe a few weeks before, when Jesus actually breathes on the disciples and they receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Up until that moment, there had only been one person in history that was filled with the Holy Spirit. Only anyone else that was anointed, the Holy Spirit came on them, mm-hmm. almost like a garment.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit mm-hmm. would come on them mm-hmm. and God would hand pick certain people that received the anointing of the Holy Spirit to accomplish his will. And
right.
it usually was
right.
a king, a priest, mm-hmm. or a prophet. And it was one of these titles. Sometimes it was all of them. Like David was king, priest,
right.
and prophet. Because he was a type of Christ. Mm-hmm. Right. So, but you have throughout history, the Holy Spirit would fill the room of a building, or the Holy Spirit would come on a man. When David gets anointed as king by Samuel in 1 Kings 16, it says that Samuel anoints David and then Samuel leaves. And then the next sentence or so, it says, and the Spirit of God came off of Saul.
Yes.
Right? And so it's like you see how like they were marked by an anointing, which was a direct overcoming of God's Spirit, which then caused them to operate supernaturally in gifts given by mm-hmm. God to orchestrate his purposes and plans to be fulfilled on the
right.
earth.
Right.
And so that was to a specific person, to the office of the prophet. Like, you know, Jeremiah was anointed as the prophet.
Yes.
You know, Deborah was anointed
as a judge
yes. and a prophet.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So you see these people that the Spirit, but when Acts chapter 2 hits, the Holy Spirit comes in. And now they're all filled with the Spirit, and they're all now carry the anointing. And it wasn't to a specific person anymore. This is a sermon I've been thinking about writing. I heard something along the lines of this, and there was a there was some context in the message that really got me reeling. I kind of got stuck in the context of the message. The message was awesome. I loved the message. And I probably wouldn't duplicate the message, mm-hmm. but the context that he was using as the basis for his message, mm-hmm. I was like stuck there. And actually, if you were in church on Sunday or watched the service this past Sunday, yesterday, Dave Andreid gets up and actually starts. And I'm like, I leaned over to, I think it was my mother-in-law, and I said, I've been like preparing a message that goes along with this. And this is the pattern. Through all of history, a strong wind would show up, fire would show up, and both that were the presence of God. And the Lord would declare that that was holy ground. So Moses is standing at the burning bush. Remove your sandals. This is holy ground. They're dedicating the temple, the Lord, or even the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. It would show up as a cloud or like wind, and fire would show up, and God would declare, this is holy ground. And you go through the Old Testament, even in some of these prophetic books, yep. in Isaiah, and like I see the Lord and his train filled the temple. Amen. And he talks about the altar and the coals on the altar. So there's wind and there's fire, and it's a holy place. And that happens over and over and over again throughout the whole Old Testament. Yeah. And you get to Acts chapter 2, and wind, yes. and fire show up. And what happens? It comes on the people. And God says, this is holy ground. Mm. And the wind and the fire came upon the people there.
Yeah.
And he is declaring of you, believer who's filled with the Holy Spirit, your holy ground.
Amen.
And it's like, wait a second. So the whole paradigm mm-hmm. shifts in Acts chapter 2 into this, like, there's this, the Spirit of God comes not just upon people, but in people.
Yes.
And so, but when you go back and look at these prophetic books, and you see the temple, you know, even the soul study at our church, it's like, wait a minute, we have to rebuild. We actually have to maintain the temple, mm-hmm. right? We have to rebuild the temple. Well, in the New Testament, the word for renewal, be transformed by the renewing yes. of your mind. That word renewing in the Greek can actually literally, because it does, like, some, a lot of times these Greek words paint a picture or there's multiple meanings to them. In the practical sense of the word, it actually means to renovate your house.
Oh, really? That's so cool.
To renovate your house. So be transformed wow. by the renovation of your soul.
Amen. Amen.
And so now go back to the Old Testament prophets
right.
when they're saying this temple is in disarray.
Yes.
And we need to repair the door, yes. the gates. Yes. We need to put the furniture back in the right place. We need to put the fire back on the altar. We need, like, take all of those things mm-hmm. that were literal in that moment and apply to them the practical part of the Father's heart.
Mm.
Hear the Father yes. saying, renovate your home. Renovate your home so that you may carry the presence of the Lord well. Mm. Like, that is a principle
yes.
that echoes Amen. From generation from Genesis to Revelation, generation to generation. Like, so when you read these books, don't just read them as a historical document, because they are.
They are, yeah.
It is the most accurate historical document the world has ever seen, okay? And it continues to be proven over and over and over again by science. Mm-hmm. They keep proving it. Because science, real science, always proves God. Right,
absolutely.
So he's proving scripture over and over. So yes, you can read it through the lens of history, which is great. Mm-hmm. But if you're a spirit-filled believer, right. read it through like you're reading a letter from the Father to you yep. saying, hear my heart in this. What is my heart? Mm-hmm. And what am I actually trying to communicate to you? In your life right now, what was I communicating to a whole nation of believers,
yeah.
a whole nation that I had called and anointed for a particular purpose, which was to carry the seed of the Messiah. Hear my heart calling them back, saying this, like Zach was, I think it was it yesterday, Zach was saying when talking about spanking.
Yes.
This hurts me more than it hurts you. It's like the father hearing almost like quivering, his voice is like quivering, saying, I'm going to send you into exile for 70 years. But thrive when you're there, because when you come back, there's something else I have for you.
Right.
It's like hear the heart of the Father of why he's actually doing that. Because exiling a generation in that moment was saving hundreds of generations.
Yes.
You know, it's like, I'm gonna take that away from you today, which is actually going to save you the pain for decades to come. You know,
Amen.
It's like that's discipline. The Father disciplines those whom he loves. So again, looking at prophecy, these prophetic books in this way of really, and especially if you know someone who's a prophet today and they prophesy, and we have some of them in our church that feel very Old Testament. When they prophesy and it feels very judgment and they're very black and white. Sometimes this is
it can be jarring.
Yeah. And sometimes this is the hard part about a lot of prophetic people is they're very black or white because it's about truth. It's either true or it's not.
Right.
And there's very little, there's no in between. Mm-hmm. It's either true or it's not. And so even when they prophesy, it's very matter of fact, and it can feel very judgmental or heavy or angry. Mm-hmm. But all New Testament prophecy is laced with redemption. Mm-hmm. And when you look back at Old Testament prophecy, it is as well. It just, the redemption looked a little bit different. You know, it was like generational. Like, I'm going to redeem this. It's just going to take 40 years to get there, you know, but seek me in it. And because it's something greater than I'm doing.
Right.
But today it's the redemption is daily. Like any prophetic utterance that comes out today is there must be a thread of redemption in there because Jesus Christ died and rose again to save the whole world.
Right.
So even prophecy that feels doomsday, like God is going to destroy the earth. Like when you read in some of these things in Revelation, it's like, and then fire comes down from heaven and burns everything up. You're like, where's this God of love? It's like, well, this is love.
It is.
Because he has given us an opportunity. You know, we are in the dispensation of grace for a little while longer. Mm-hmm. And like, seek him while he can be found.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. Amen. So what's a prophetic book that you grew in yourself? Like is there one that really speaks to you personally or that you've found yourself going back to over your life or at different seasons?
Yeah. So some of them, there are some prophetic utterances, even in some of the books that are not prophecy, like Psalms has a lot of prophecy in Psalms. There is a couple places in Isaiah that, remember last year we made those prepare the way t-shirts.
Yes.
And it was like, I designed it to be like a national parks, like shirt because they were like, we could like,
really
they're
cool.
Like a fad, you know? But, and on the back it has a, like, you know, all the high places brought low, low prices brought up, you know? So it's like, there's a couple places in Isaiah that I feel like the Lord has resonated in with me a lot. And specifically two places, one of them, of course, Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted, right? It's like to proclaim freedom to the captives in the year of the favor of the Lord, you know? So it's like, because that so encapsulates like deliverance ministry that Jesus is not just a savior, but he's a deliverer and a healer.
Yes.
Like when you read through that, he saves us, delivers us, heals us, and makes us whole, and then promotes us to a place of growth and health in the kingdom as a priesthood. When you actually read through that chapter, you'll see God's heart in it. And of course, this is when Jesus steps into his ministry.
Right.
This is the first thing he preaches. He gets baptized. He walks into the temple, opens up the scroll, and reads this. And so as a deliverance minister, this is always, I mean, this is like this is like the foundation of deliverance ministry, right?
Amen.
Besides Ephesians 6, you know? So there's like this aspect of the Messiah, of the Savior. And then of course, and then in Isaiah, when it's basically talking about John the Baptist, like this voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, you know? And then it talks about like, in like that t-shirt we made, where it's like the high places,
right,
are about preparing the way. The high places will be brought low, the low places will be brought up. You know, there will be streams in the desert, rivers in the wasteland. You know, so like there's this whole aspect of that. And because that, to me, like I resonate with John the Baptist. Like, I mean, people love the disciples. Like Peter is probably my favorite disciple out of all of them. But of the New Testament characters,
John the Baptist
is like my jam, you know? And so that then leads me to Malachi. Like I love Malachi. Malachi as a whole book, it's not that long. The whole book is like punch you in the face, punch you in the face, punch you in the face, punch you in the face over and over and over again. But like a good one, like Zach says, a punch in the gut and a kiss on the mouth, like over and over and over. But then the last chapter, last paragraph, it says, in the last days, I will send Elijah and his message will turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. And that always resonates with me because for multiple things. Number one, when the disciples are with Jesus, what Peter, James, and John are with Jesus, they're on the Mount of Transfiguration, they encounter Moses and Elijah.
Yes.
And Peter says to Jesus, is Elijah coming back? Now, this was prophesied in Malachi.
Right.
Is Elijah coming back? And Jesus says, Elijah already came and he was John the Baptist. Oh, I mean,
yeah.
Like my brain just explodes into a million pieces. And then it's like, well, Elijah's message will turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and sons. What was John the Baptist's message? Because Elijah's message, well, what was Elijah's message? Well, it was repent before he runs away, you know, calls down fire from heaven.
Yes.
And, but now we have to fast forward because what was John the Baptist's message? It was twofold. It was repent for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yes.
And then it changes to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So he prophesies the Messiah and then gets to see him come over the hill.
Wow.
And then his heart posture changes to one of I must decrease and he must increase. So this is the message of John the Baptist. And now fast forward to now. And we talk about around here all the time that we are in a revival of the Father. Well, what does that mean? Well, a revival of the Father is that order is being restored in our lives. Fathers are taking their places as the priest of their home, as our minds, as our homes are being renovated.
Amen.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, through revelation, we individually are coming into order, which is bringing our home into order, which is bringing the house of God into order. For what reason? To purify the bride, to be prepared for the coming of the groom. And so this is the revival of the Father. Well, in that scripture in Malachi, it says his message will bring the hearts of the fathers to the sons and sons to the fathers. Why? Because it's repentance. And you can't have repentance without forgiveness.
Right.
And so forgiveness is the number one key to healing. And so this is the message that the Lord has wired into the DNA of this church. So when I'm reading those, I get like, really, like I'm like holding my. I think my legs are hurting right now because I'm like literally.
I want to jump up.
I'm like holding onto my chair right now.
You cannot move from the microphone.
I'm like bracing myself on my chair because I just want to like run and like I feel like I'm going to explode. That this is what the Lord is doing here. This is what He's doing in this time. He's preparing the bride, and how is He doing that? Through repentance and forgiveness, which is turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and sons to the fathers. So there is this John the Baptist thing. So when I read that, when I read Malachi, especially when I get to the end, I like everything inside of me like is like shakes when I read that.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that is so cool. And you know, when you're talking, it's really painting just a full picture of how we are to read all of Scripture. And it's all about understanding God's heart, understanding our heart in light of God's heart, mm-hmm. why Jesus came, and repenting towards him. And then he comes and does this renovation. And then we then go out like John the Baptist, yeah. and we prepare the way of the Lord. And it's not about us building our kingdom. It's about building his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's as I've grown as a Christian, it's always been like the Lord changing my heart and making it more with that I must decrease, he must increase. Because I think we underestimate how much of that work has to take place in us. Because mm-hmm. even as a Spirit-filled believer, like there's a piece of you that kind of likes it. Like you like operating in the Spirit, but in a yeah. way that it's like, that's like you're building yourself up when you're doing that.
Right.
Right. And it's like, we can't get enough of that Spirit in us.
Yeah. 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 And again, you have to like, when you look at all of these books, even the historical books and stuff, read them. And you have to ask the question, Lord, like, what is your heart's intent
yeah.
here? Because sometimes you read stories, and you're like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. But when you stop and slow down and start to read some of the stories in some of these, I mean, they blow your mind.
Yes.
When you start reading some of the accounts in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles of what was actually happening, sometimes you're like, you feel like this could be so boring. I don't mm-hmm. get it. And you start reading stories about like Jeroboam and Ahab and how they like, they come into covenant with one another because mm-hmm. Ahab is actually manipulating him to try to like take over a nation. And so he manipulates him into it. And then Jeroboam's like, okay, I know, but I only want to do this if like the Lord's hand is on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ahab like gets 400 prophets and they all prophesy, oh yeah, you guys are going to win this war. And Jeroboam's like, okay, that's great. But can we have one prophet of the living God
right.
actually prophesy? And Ahab's like, well, I only know one of those guys, but he's annoys me because
right.
every time he prophesies against me. And Jeroboam's yeah. like, and so he comes and prophesies against Ahab and says that he'll die.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ahab does everything
yeah.
to go around it
right.
and still dies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Lord, what the heck are you trying to say in this? It's like, you can't hide from
you
him.
Hide.
When you said yes to the Lord and to step into, like Ahab said yes to God anointing him as king, well, the responsibility came with that.
Right.
And with that responsibility came a lot of other aspects of walking in the fullness of what God had for you. And so disobedience and rebellion leads to destruction.
Yes.
And if you are listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, I wish I could be at the church every day and I could be a pastor and I would love to be a leader of the church. No, you don't.
No,
you don't, because the Bible says that he judges us more harshly than mm-hmm. he's going to judge you. So if you, and like I tell people like I want to be a part of deliverance mm-hmm. ministry. I want to cast out demons. And I'm like, are you sure? Because when you rise up right now, you're safe because you're behind the wall. And then yeah. you step up to say yes to what God has
yeah.
for you. And when you rise up, your head comes up above mm-hmm. the wall and the snipers are looking at you
yeah.
and they start shooting at you yeah. from hundreds of miles away and you don't even see it coming. And so like, there's a whole element of this that we have to start really understanding God's heart in this. And so, I just loved, I'm first of all, yeah, I've loved this series so far. It's so mm-hmm. different than anything that Zach's ever taught or preached. And I, even the way he's doing it, I don't even prefer it, but it's so good.
It's awesome.
Because it's
yeah.
like, we realize that there's so much about the word
yes.
that we still don't mm-hmm. really understand
yeah.
as Christians that have access to an infinite amount of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere you turn, it's on your phone. I literally have my phone in my hands right now while mm-hmm. I'm talking. My Bible is on the counter. You have two computers open
yep.
and your phone is right there. So we have five
devices yeah.
or ways to actually
yeah.
pull up scripture. And my phone, my Bible app, I can pull up every interpretation.
Yep.
Including the original.
Right.
Right here
yes.
in my hand. And when a lot of these were written, there was like one scroll.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all word of mouth. And then someone would rewrite or copy another scroll. And they would be written one, what we call chapter at a time.
Yeah.
One stanza at a time, yep. One portion at a time per scroll. And all these scrolls would be kept like in the temple. And if you wanted to read it, you had to be a certain level or caliber yeah. of priest or whatever yeah. to even walk into the room where they mm-hmm. were located. And now we have access, infinite access to it. And we're so ignorant. The Bible actually says in multiple places, do not be ignorant because it will lead to your destruction. Yes. And we need to not stop being ignorant and understand the word.
Mm. Amen. So Pastor Zach, both weeks talked a few things about how God communicated to the prophets and then even to us. And I just wanted you to maybe guide us or put some guidance on us, like as we grow in prophecy, because Paul says, like, you know, seek the gifts, especially yeah. prophecy. So he talked about how God spoke in visions, dreams, direct dialogue, transportation, and symbolic actions. How can I, as a New Testament Christian, grow in these things, or how should I put these things in their proper place?
Yeah. So it's great. I actually this year had the privilege of doing a module with the King's Academy students, which was a prayer and prophecy module. And so it was, we talked about how to pray according to the Spirit, which we both grew up in Assembly of God churches. When if you grew up in Assembly of God church, you immediately heard speaking in tongues.
Oh, yes.
And
oh, yes.
That's not what I said. Yep. I said praying according to the Spirit. Even praying in the Spirit yeah. doesn't even mean no. you're praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is praying in tongues. And there's two kinds of tongues. There's a prophetic utterance in tongues, and there's a prayer language in tongues. Neither of them you usually understand yourself unless you have the gift of interpretation. Then only the prophetic utterance of tongues you would supernaturally receive an interpretation for. But the prayer language in tongues is groanings and sounds in a language that actually comes from heaven
yeah.
via the Holy Spirit when you surrender yourself to Him and say, Lord, I want to pray according to your will. And the Holy Spirit anoints you, and there's a gift that you're given.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I can't wait for our 1 Corinthians.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
That's up this
really,
a
really looking
Wednesday
forward
nights
to that.
Starting July 9th, right?
Yes.
July 9th, Wednesday nights for
6:30.
For 8 weeks at 6:30 PM. 1 Corinthians. We're gonna go through all of 1 Corinthians, and there's 16 chapters. So, right.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So
probably two chapters
yep,
a night.
Yep. So, so two chapters a night. And it's going to be awesome. So,
be cool.
And so speaking in tongues is in there. Right. So, anyway, so, right. So we have this gift of, there's also a gift of prophecy. And so one of the interesting things about it is that when we, again, we think prophecy, we think of like these Old Testament books. We think of like these weird people sometimes get up on a Sunday and they give a quote unquote word. Like, what does that mean? And so I had the privilege of like teaching these kids what all this stuff means.
Right.
And then we practiced and it was so much fun. Right. and so basically, again, prophecy 101, the most basic definition of prophecy is declaring the word of the Lord. The Bible calls all of us to prophesy. We might not all have the gift of prophecy, but we all have been called to prophesy, Amen. Which is to declare the Amen. Word of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, people with the gift of prophecy, the Holy Spirit may give them unction or show them a vision, or even in the word of God, they'll read a scripture and a prophetic revelation of what God is trying to speak in this moment from a word that was written 2,000 years ago or 1,500 years ago, right? It's like you read that and that was real then, but it's real now. And what is God speaking to us now through that? And so you declare the word of the Lord and it has a prophetic edge to it, meaning like there's a revelation right. for us now.
Like a word in season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's like that part of it. And then of course, like Pastor Zach talked about prophecy being forth-telling, which is a truth that has already been declared, but bringing it forth in season, right? So a forth-telling word. And then you have a foretelling, which is, I see this happening in your future. This kind of thing is going to happen to you. So, and then you also have a kind of prophecy, that is kind of like foretelling. But it actually, when you say it, it actually causes it to come into being. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, Ezekiel with the dry bones, the Lord said to him, specifically used the language, prophesy over these bones to live so that they will live. And like when God said it, it came out of God's mouth.
Right.
To Ezekiel.
Yes.
Those bones didn't move. Mm-hmm. It took Ezekiel saying it for those bones to actually do something. And so God's design is to use us as his mouthpiece, to use us as his instrument to actually see not just things happen, but maybe even things come into existence as a result of our prophetic declaration.
Right.
And so a lot of times in prayer at our church, even in pre-service prayer meetings, the Lord may show us something in the spirit. Lord, what is it that you want to do here today? We may get some random vision about something. And then we start to wrestle it out with, Lord, what do you mean by that? And he kind of gives us a basic understanding of what he's trying to say. And then when we share it, or when we pray it out, you're taking what God wants to do in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And as you declare it, you're prophesying it. And it actually happens as a result of you praying it out. And so prophetic intercession is so powerful because it's us being led by the Holy Spirit to come into agreement what heaven is speaking over our family, what heaven is speaking over our church. We hear it as intercessors and then declare it by our mouth, and it goes into the atmosphere. And then it actually begins to take place because we said, because we said it.
Yeah.
And so, and to take a lot of the weirdness out of it, because sometimes it can be weird, right? And sometimes God can ask you to do something weird. Okay. So that's why discernment, number one, that's why discernment is important. Number two, that's why these gifts are meant to operate within a body.
Yeah.
So there's accountability to it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number three, not all weird things are actually as weird as they seem.
Yeah.
And the only way we distinguish that is that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you're actively engaged with the gift of discernment, and someone does something weird, you'll know in your gut, that was really weird, or that was kind of odd, but that was the Lord.
Yeah.
Like there will be a check in your spirit. Yeah. And sometimes it's like, was that God? Was that not God? I don't. Most of the time, if you're wrestling out whether it was the Lord or not, it probably was the Lord. You're just struggling with either your pride or your critical spirit
to comprehend,
to actually receive what was actually being done. If something, usually when it's not of the Spirit of God and someone does something or says something, like you'll get sick to your stomach, the hair will stand up on the back of your neck. Sometimes you, like your spidey senses go off and you're like, wait, this is odd. This is weird. This is really, really, really weird. And like even the body of Christ, you could be in a church service and half the people in there might not even be aware that they even have the gift of discernment.
Right.
They'll be like, something's off. Something's off. You'll feel it. You'll feel the Holy Spirit will say, no. But even just because it's weird doesn't mean it's not the Lord. Right. And many times someone will get up and say something or do something and you'd be like, oh, that's kind of weird. But something in your spirit's like, yeah, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And so you have to ask yourself, okay, Lord, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this? Why is this person saying? Because I mean, I get so many things, and but it, sure it's taken do. Years.
Yeah.
It's taken years of risk of, I think this is the Lord telling me this, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I think this is what the Lord just showed me.
Yep.
And then you say it to that person, and you're like, I can't believe you just said that.
Right.
Oh my gosh, I'm like, does that resonate with you?
Right.
And you're like, are you kidding me? Yep. Every single thing. And you're like, really? I mean, I thought I was way out there.
right.
And then you start, the more you practice that, the more you actually-
you grow.
Fine tune your ears to hear the voice of the Lord. And then that's usually when he gets you. When you're like, I'm pretty confident I can hear from God. And then he'll throw a curveball at you.
Yeah.
He'll throw you a really hard one. He'll say, I need you to go tell this person that thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, are you serious right now? I can't tell him that. I'm not going to tell him that. And it's like the Lord's like, no, no, but I gave you this gift and I need you to go tell him that. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that the word is subject to the prophet. God will never make you say something. And to all the people out there saying, oh, I just couldn't help it. It was God. Oh, you can help it. There's a gift of the spirit called self-discipline.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay? Yeah. And the Bible says the word is subject to the prophet, which means even how and when you deliver it, mm-hmm. if you deliver it at all. And I don't think God punishes you if you don't deliver a word. But I have seen it where I feel like after a while, God will pass you by because right. you get to the point of disobedience and rebellion. And the Lord's like, I have to move my, mm-hmm. I'm going to choose somebody else to be my mouthpiece because you don't, yeah. you won't actually be obedient to me anymore. And so listen, it's one of those things. And if you desire to be used in this way, ask the Lord to give you the gift, right? Ask him to give you discernment. Like, and as this is what we do, this is how we practice it, right? This is 101. This is how we practice. This is how I've been teaching it. So if the Lord has, I'm like, all right, I got Luke sitting in front of me right now. I'm like, okay, Jesus, if you were sitting here at the table with us right now in this room, what would you say to Luke? Like, if we asked you,
right,
Jesus, what do you have in store for Luke? Mm-hmm. What would you say? And the first thing we can start doing is actually just like, well, the word says this about you, mm-hmm. right? That that it's not good for a man to be alone. So to be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah,
right?
Amen. So, we do receive that.
So yeah. There's only one of you here.
Well,
I've already done my multiply.
I know.
I'm just kidding. But that's what the word, that's what the written word says.
No, that's true.
But then right. all of a sudden, like when you yield and you mm-hmm. just stop for a moment
yeah.
and you just listen, we do this at the altar. Yeah. I put my hand on someone and I say, okay, Lord, do you have a word for them? Mm-hmm. And it looks like that so many times. It's like,
yeah.
I get a vision of something
yeah.
and I'm like, whoa. Right. So like, even right now, like I'm just taking a moment, like I literally see you like in a wine press and I see you with your pants rolled up. Mm-hmm. You have a white button-down shirt on with the sleeves rolled up, khaki pants rolled up past up over your knee, and you're in a wine press, and you're pressing, 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 pressing. And I hear the Lord saying, like, all of that work is not for nothing.
Yeah.
He's producing something through you that is a gift to those around you. And so even though you feel like you're walking in circles around this wine press, not going yeah. anywhere,
yeah.
You've been obedient to the Lord and he has you in a season where he's saying, don't stop. Don't stop because there is a reward for you when you continue to obey me this way. Don't stop because the fruit of what it is that is being produced through your life mm-hmm. right now, this is something that will last for a long time.
Amen.
That was a word for you Amen. Right now, right?
No, I receive it. Yeah. No, I
so,
do.
So like just yes. and so you just and, yes. and it's like, Jesus, if you were here right now, what would you mm-hmm. say to them? Do you have a word of encouragement for them? Mm-hmm. Do you have what is it that you want them to know right now? And here's the thing, right? When someone's prophesying to you and it's of the spirit, it's like your yeah. spirit goes, oh, I want this. I want this. Yes. I want this. But when they're trying to quote unquote prophesy mm-hmm. and it's in the flesh, a wall will go up like in your gut.
You can feel nauseous.
The gut check. Yeah. So I do. I'm putting my hand on yeah. my belly right now. The mm-hmm. gut check. Like you feel it in your gut. Like something's not mm-hmm. right with this. And a lot of times I'll ask, like, does that resonate with you? Sometimes I don't even have to ask because yeah. I see them. They're, yeah. they're nodding and yep. tears are in your eyes. Yep. You know, it's like you say, it's like a drink to your spirit. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my gosh, right? Sometimes it's even prophetic words that go even further than that. And it's like, it's confirming something the Lord is yeah. doing in your life right yeah. now. And a lot of times prophetic utterances will start out almost like a word of knowledge. It's like God's confirming what's happening in you right yes. now. And many times, Pastor Zach gave this forthtelling and foretelling. A lot of prophetic words actually come with both.
Yeah.
They'll start with a word of knowledge or something that's forthtelling. It's confirming something that had already been spoken. And then at the end, there'll be something that's added on to it that is like a word for you for what's going on in the future. And I'm not going to get to you right now.
But that's – so as Pastor John was sharing that word for me, it was in line with the process that I was already in with the Holy Spirit over these past like months and weeks and stuff. So so you got like a piece and it was like a guide point, a guidepost to me, like, yes, you're on the right track.
And we prophesy in part. So that's what's great about the body of Christ. When I'm in this module with these King students, one of the quarters, there was like 15 kids in there. And we would go around the room and every kid would get a piece of the puzzle. And then we all share our piece and it paints a picture of what God is speaking over that person or over the church or whatever. And so a lot of our prayer times with the house of prayer operate this way. We yield to the Spirit for like an hour. And the Lord gives us scriptures and visions and things like that. And we all bring our piece and say, this is what the Lord showed me while I was praying. And we share our piece. If it's a vision or sometimes it's like one singular word with like five different scriptures attached to it. And then and everyone shares their part. And then we write them all down and say, look, this is the picture that God is painting right now. This is what he's speaking over our church or over the leadership or over the school or over our students or whatever. And so I started doing it with them. I'd have one student come down and sit in the hot seat and the rest of them would ask the Lord for a word and then they would prophesy over that student. And it was like, and they always do this. Oh my gosh, what I'm about to say, it sounds so weird. It sounds so stupid. I'm like, say it anyway. And sometimes it's a verbatim what God gave another student. Almost like the same picture. And so you write down, this is what I saw. This is the scripture God gave me. And this is what I felt like he was saying to you. And then the next student is, because I made them all bring the notebooks because I wanted them to write it down before they shared as proof they heard from God. And I'm telling you, it's like every single time, you know, and their mind is blown by it. But this is not weird.
No.
This is the church in action in conjunction with the Holy Spirit to establish the kingdom of God on the earth today.
Amen.
And this is what these men were doing in these books. They would sit down and they would just ponder the Lord and he would come and speak to them. And then they would write it down and then they would share it with everyone. This is what I see. Like, I got a prophetic word yesterday before service and the week before, and I didn't even share them. I'll share them right now. The first one was, this is a word for someone. I see a coin. Someone listening to this right now is questioning if God is for them, even more if God is real. I see you flipping a coin. Heads, God is real. Tails, God is a lie. And I hear the Lord say to you, it's heads. Every time you keep flipping the coin, but it always lands on heads. And this is the, and this is what you need to know. God is real. Jesus is alive and God is for you.
Amen.
And I have a couple of scriptures here, Deuteronomy 31:6 and Hebrews 13:5. Okay. And don't be afraid of what is waging war against you. Do not trust in your own strength or in money, but trust in the Lord. He will never leave you or never forsake you. That was the word from 2 weeks ago. And then the other word I got is yesterday. Sorry, this word is, this is a prophetic word for someone named Janet. I don't even know who Janet is. Janet, if you're listening to this, your name is Janet. Psalm 23 verses 2-3. In the NASB, it says this. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And verse 3, he restores my soul. Felt like the Lord underlined the word, he makes me. Like he, in some versions, it says he lets me rest, in green pastures. But I felt like the Lord saying, he makes me lie down. It was like the Lord is going, no, 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 you're going to sit here. I'm giving you a green pasture to sit in and I'm bringing you beside, quiet waters, still waters, because I want to restore your soul. So if you're Janet and you're listening to this, let the Lord lead you to that place because he wants to bring restoration to you.
Amen. Well, this has been absolutely amazing. did not know where we were going to go.
Yeah,
this is awesome. And you know, it's so important that we practice this in a body. And this is why you need the body, because we all get a piece, right? And together we grow up in the love of Jesus, and we receive his fire in our hearts and his prophetic guidance with us all the time through his word, through each other. Would you just pray for us as we go?
Yeah, absolutely. Lord, I thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. Lord, I thank you for this church and this body. God, I thank you that you have invited us in to partake in your kingdom, God, as not just as loyal subjects to the king, but as active participants to the coming of your kingdom, God, that we are agents of the moving of your spirit, Lord, that in your sovereignty, you designed it so that it wouldn't be just you, like up in heaven on this throne, dictating every single thing that happens. But God, in your sovereignty, you chose to use us as the vessels of that carry your power, that carry your glory, that carry your spirit, that we are holy ground. And so right now, God, I pray that you would fill us, God, with every gift that you want us to have. Lord, your word says to earnestly seek your gifts, God. And I know, Lord, that you measure out those gifts according to your purpose and your plans, God, that each one of us have a number of talents that you have provided for us. But God, I also ask for to increase our capacity in that,
Lord. Yes, Jesus.
That in this time, in this season, that you would add to us gifts necessary to further your kingdom for your purposes, your plans, and for your glory. And so, God, I thank you for prophecy. I thank you for the gift of prophecy. God, I pray that as believers, that we all would, at a very basic level, readily declare the word of the Lord. God, that it would be hidden in our hearts. God, that we would understand this, that we would learn this. God, that we would know the truth and the principles written in your word. But Lord God, even like in Ephesians 6, it says, but you have also given us the sword of the spirit, God, that our tongue is that sword, Lord, and that we would not just know your word, but we would wield it like a sword, Lord, and that as it comes out of our mouth, Lord God, that it can bring life, God, that it would be a weapon for warfare. It also would be used to cut through heaviness and cut through darkness, God, to speak into someone's soul and as a means to even do surgery in them through your word into someone else, God.
Yes, Jesus.
That the very words that come out of our mouths don't just glorify you, but edify the person that we're delivering to them to, and it performs a miraculous work inside of them as part of the renewing of their mind, as part of the transformation in them, God, that when we hear your word, we would receive it, God, and that it would, that every word that is of your spirit would grow roots deep inside of us and transform us and bear fruit in our lives. Then every word spoken over us, are given to us, every sermon preached and every message taught, God, that any parts of it that are of the flesh, that they would just disintegrate and they would just fall to the wayside and not bear any fruit. But every word spoken according to your spirit and your word would bear fruit in our lives, God, that the gift of prophecy would be in our church, Lord, that you anoint people and you give them the gift of prophecy, that you even anoint people and put them in the office of prophet. But God, as your people, we are called to be a prophetic people, all of us. And God, that we would be led by your spirit to declare the word of the Lord, and that our praying would be guided by your spirit, that our worship will be led by your spirit, and that all of it would be a declaration of your son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for these messages. Yes. Lord God, we're excited and we look forward to the Gospels next week, Lord. And as Pastor Chris says, there's power in the Gospels, God. And I pray that power would shake us, Lord, and it would actually unlock in us the truth that we were made in your image, that we bear the Son's image in our lives, and that we would rise up and begin to operate according to the Spirit, and that we would resemble your Son, Jesus Christ, to the world around us, who himself was a prophetic declaration, the manifestation of prophetic utterances for thousands of years. God, that our lives would be the manifestation of the prophecy of heaven to a dying world today, so that your kingdom can come and be done in their lives as it is in heaven, and that you would get all the honor and all of the glory. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, man.
Family, go out and live in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, and we will see you on Sunday.